I was going to say this before. They did bring some books along for Christian Family Living. And these books is for everyone. It's free. And it's one book per married couple and one book per youth. And there's a study guide that goes with it. And so we're going to go ahead and pass them out on the ends as he starts to speak. And if you would just take one and then pass the rest along. Thank you.
Thank you. So good evening. It's a pleasure to be here this weekend. And I would like to say some of the same things that Johnny said. Let's not be uncomfortable. We're all people. And I'll just tell you one thing right here. So I came here from dinner. We had a lovely dinner at George Wall's house. And I didn't have time to brush my teeth. So my wife brought my toothbrush and my toothpaste. And I tried to stick it in my pocket. And unknown to me, she had toothpaste on the toothbrush. So I'm walking up here tonight with it. It used to be a clean pants, and now it's got these green streaks on it. Well, that's my toothpaste. So the reason I'm saying that is we're just all people. And so that's how I want you to, when I talk, my topic or my study is about Christian family living. And I'll have you know at the beginning, I am not a pro at having a wonderful family. I do have a wonderful family. But in spite of me, I do have a wonderful family. And so the things that I say, this, please understand, I am certainly not perfect, and I have made many mistakes. But the Bible has a plan for everyone. And in spite of our mistakes, God can do a lot if we just let him. Okay? So I will introduce to you. Well, first of all, before you're going to see Psalm 127, verse 1, quite a bit this weekend. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Okay, we'll come back to that. And I'll do a little family introduction here. So this is my family. I live in Bastrop, Texas. And I've been married to that beautiful young lady right there for 23 years. We have four children. My oldest daughter is right. Oh, wait a minute here. My oldest daughter, I'll get back to it directly, is right there on the end. She's 22. She just graduated from nursing school, so she's a nurse now and works at a local hospital. Then my son, or her name, is Jordana. Okay? Then my second child is my son here. His name is Chad. And he's 20, and he works with me. We build custom homes, do remodeling projects, some commercial, different things. So he works with me in that. Over here is my second daughter. Her name is Sophia. She was born in Paraguay, so she's a dual citizen, so to speak. She was born in Paraguay, so she has a Paraguayan birth certificate. She's 17. There's a lot of drama that surrounds her most days about something, either cats or chickens or I don't know what all. But anyway, and then the youngest one right here is Cody, and he's 11. So that gives you kind of an idea of who we are. And so next time you see or hear, you know now who we are. So that's just to make things, get things comfortable. So tonight we talk about the family. And I said that, you know, let's just do this. Let's read Psalm 127. You can either read it up there. It'll show up here directly. But I'm going to read it out of my Bible here. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So I would also like to say here, first of all, okay, all of us are in different stages of life, okay? Some of us are married. Some are unmarried. Some are older singles. Some have biological children. Some have adopted children. Okay? But one thing is certain for every one of us here tonight, we have some for connection to a family somewhere. Okay? There's no getting around that. Okay? So all of us are connected. And I don't want to exclude one person from another, okay? I'm not better because I have four biological children than you if you have adopted children. Not one bit better, okay? I'm not better because I'm married than someone who is single and maybe hasn't had a chance to get married, okay? So I want to make that clear up front. I'm not here tonight to make, I don't want anyone to, all of us have a part to play. And even you young people tonight, and I'm going to have to kick it in high gear here, but even you young people here, there's something you can learn in this lesson because you might have a family one day, okay? And plus, we're going to get to a few things. But here in this, I see this as so foundational. You notice in that first verse, it says, except God builds a house, forget it. That's plain words. And if I talk too fast, slow me down. And like Johnny said, if you have a question, we'll stop right there and answer the question. Okay? So wave your hands, whatever. If you need me to explain something, then I want to do that. So, but first, this is so simple, it's so basic, it's so foundational that if God is not building the house, it's a waste of time. I don't know. I can't make that point strong enough. God has to build our house, and our house is our family. And the family means whether you are a child, whether you are a father, whether you are an older single, you're connected to a family. And God has, to, whatever you do tonight, it's not just the family either. It's your work, it's everything. If God is not in it, then we might as well forget it. And he goes on in the next verse and he says, God not only builds it, but he has to keep it. So you may start off good. It doesn't stop there. You need God. You notice it says right there, except the Lord build the house. Next verse says, except the Lord keep the city. And it says it's in vain if he's not in it. So I don't know. I could pretty much tell you that. That's the main thing right there. That is really the main critical point. It's vain for you to rise up early. Solomon, we would understand that Solomon wrote this. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't get out of bed and go to work. He's not saying that. So don't, if you got this idea it's time to sleep in like some of my children do. That's not what this chapter means. But what he's saying is you can put your effort into it and get up early. It's of no benefit if God is not in it. Okay? So when it comes to a family, God must be in it. It's so important. Those last several verses there, we're not going to get into those tonight. We'll get into those in the next couple of evenings. But at the end of verse 2 there, and yet he talks about how when we trust God, we don't have to worry. When we put God into the center of our home, my home, into the center of my life, in what I'm doing. When I do that, he says, right here, lo, he giveth his beloved sleep. And that simply means you are at peace. You don't have to stress about life. And that's so wonderful. You know, when God is in it, whatever I'm doing, I'm good. There is a, in Edinburgh, Scotland, there is a city, well, that is a city, of course. Edinburgh is a city. And do you know what their motto is? It's been there since the 1500s, I think. It says, Nisi Dominus Frustra. And that's Latin. So I tried to pronounce it. I don't, probably none of you know if I did it right or not, because I certainly don't. But that simply means if God is not in it, then we're frustrated. And so I would like to suggest that make that a model for your home. Just pretend that you've got a big stone granite column, and across your house it says, if God isn't in it, we're frustrated. And that's what happens. So remember tonight when you build the home, when God is in it, it's a wonderful thing. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. You could ask my children about all the mistakes I've made. I'm sure they've got a list. I've got a list, I know. But when God is in it, it takes out that frustration. You know, when we work so hard to have the perfect family, and all four, however many you got, lined up here on the front, and they're just so, I mean, they sit so still in church and they don't cry. Well, you know what? They can actually do that. But if God isn't in it, you still don't have it. It's better to have your child screaming and squalling in church, and you have to go out every now and then, and have God building your home, because those things happen. That's better than to have everything picture perfect, looks good on the top, but God isn't in it. Okay, that's the main point. Second point, to truly understand, this is also a very key point as I see it, to truly understand the Christian family, it is best understood in the context of the church. So, you can go to the book of Colossians. We don't have time to turn to these scriptures. In Colossians, in Ephesians, and in Peter, they often, several times they write about family and how the family functions, and they always write about it in the context of the church. Like in Colossians chapter 3, Paul is writing and he talks about submitting yourselves one to another, and he talks about the church, and then he comes to the family. So I would like to suggest that it is important as a family that we are also in the church. That's why, and by the way, I should give credit where credit is due. My wife made this PowerPoint for me. I wrote it out on paper, but she designed everything, so she's the one that gets all the credit. But we put the circle of the church and we put the family right in the middle of it. And it's very, very important. You see, of ourselves, none of us are perfect in and of ourselves. You know, the church is, so we look at, we say, well, we're going to church. So the church is a building, right? But the church is more than a building. The church is, and Johnny said this already, he said we're one big family, right? And so as a church, we're one big family made up of all these other little families, and it's a wonderful picture. So remember that the church, we do not exist, as my family does not exist as just this separate little thing, but it exists as Christian families all together within the church. You know, within the church, as a family, I find support, I find encouragement, I find lots of help in things that I need that I don't have of myself. So family needs the church. This is a quote by a man named Sinclair Ferguson. He said, "My family needs the church, family, for its own growth and health. No single family possesses all the resources it needs to be a truly and fully Christian family. We need support, friendship, example, wise counsel, and much else from the church family." Now, can God meet our needs by ourselves? He could. But He would much rather see us involved with other people. Because of myself, the Graber family don't have it all figured out. But you see, when I put the Graber family with the Yoder family, I'll use names from my church, then the Yoder family can help fix the problems with the Graber family, right? Where I kind of come up short. So you see, we need other people to help us in influence in our lives. We do not exist as separate entities. Here's another quote. "A child in the Christian church has a claim to the prayers and service of others in the church." Now, let me explain that. So as a child growing up in a Christian church, he or she is not only reaping the benefit of father and mother praying for him, but he or she is reaping the benefit of the whole church praying for him. So isn't that quite an amazing thing when you stop and think about it? So let's put our family within the context of the church if we can. We have in Genesis chapter 2, verse 20, we have God's basic design. And I think we'll read these verses here. It says, "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. From the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So in these verses, we have the basic foundation of the Christian family. We have one man, one woman, and if God so blesses, you have children. And that's the design that God established in creation in Genesis chapter 2. So very early in the beginning of time. We also now have the establishment of the home as a basic social unit. So where God designed it that we would understand how to relate to each other socially in the home. And you notice there you have social, and that means living or disposed to live in companionship with others as in a community. Meaning socially you work with other people. Like you live together with other people. In the Christian home, the Christian family is the best place for that to start in a child's life and to develop, okay? We learn that way. Then another aspect that we see of the social life, I need to move on here, is the idea of teaching in our children, okay? In Deuteronomy, God made that very clear to the children of Israel. He gave them, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, and you notice these verses, he says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." So let's stop for a second. What does it mean when he says, command thee? Is it an option? What do you think? What does it mean to command? A direct order. So I say, get out of your seat and go out the back door, right? That's a direct order, right? Well, that's what God said. He didn't say, well, today if you feel like it there, Abe, I'm sure there's somebody here named Abe, but I don't know you. So he'll say, Abe, if you feel like it today, why don't you tell one of your boys something? And if you don't, well, that's okay. There'll always be another day. That's not what God said. He said, Abe, you tell that young man what I tell you to tell him. Now, maybe that sounds a little harsh, but that's in essence what God did. He didn't give an option. He said, in these words which I command thee this day, put that in your heart, because, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Not, well, okay, maybe. Well, I don't feel like it today. He said, thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, even when you're sleeping. Well, you can't talk when you're sleeping, I get it. And when you rise up. So he's saying he's covering everything, okay? So you might say, well, I can't do it when I'm sleeping. Well, don't just then. He says, when you get up too. And not just then. He says, when you're walking, when you're going to work, when you're on the road. And then he even goes further. Then he says, Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between the eyes. So he's saying, tie them things on your hand and put them up here on your eyes so you don't forget. And write them on the posts of your house and on your gates. So in those verses, I don't think any one of us can find a way out of it. If we expect to follow God's way, there's no second option. And with God's help, it's easily doable. Now, there's hard days, for sure. And there's days that we make a mistake. And there's days that we forget. But it is possible. We have a few other verses here. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 20 to 25, I don't think I'll read them, but here in these verses, God was again telling them just the concept that when your son asks of you, this is part of the social unit of the family, okay? You should not be, as parents, we are not to depend on the school teacher and the pastors of the church to tell our children what God has in His Word. The school teachers help us, sure. The pastors in the church hopefully are helping too. But we are responsible. God tells a direct command to parents here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You can read these verses sometime. Verses 20 to 25. That you tell your son. You help them understand why we did this. You help them understand what happened in Egypt and how we came out of Egypt. It's my responsibility as a father. So we have a couple of things here. Their basic needs of a family, of children, are food, clothing, and shelter. Emotional needs, meaning love and security. And spiritual needs, meaning and purpose. So as a family unit, we should be developing socially. Our way of developing socially should be met in the home, right here. Our basic needs, food, clothing, shelter, emotional needs, love and security, and spiritual needs, meaning and purpose. There are healthy social interactions, and here I have a couple of them. Healthy social interactions are eating together, playing together, praying together, singing together, working together. And when you get done with working together, it's eating together again. It's playing together. It's praying together. It's singing together. It's working together. And it just keeps going around the circle. You see, these are things that, as families, it's such an amazing thing when we can find ourselves in this situation. You know, and I know we live in a hurried life, and it's worse now than it ever was, I think. You know. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I try to mind the clock, but I'll get here somehow. But even in our hurried lifestyle, you know, my daughter's a nurse, I said, so when she works, she leaves in the morning at 5:30, and she gets home at maybe almost 8 o'clock. Because she works a 12-hour day, she has to drive 45 minutes one way. It's a long day. And so she'll work 3 days, and she'll be off 2 days. And then she'll work 2 days, and she'll be off. You never can tell. So, you know, there are things that we have to work around. But as young families, for sure, start doing these things. Get into this cycle. I mean, take time to listen to your little tykes. Take time to get on the floor and play with them. That's what it means, playing together. As they get older, go on a camping trip if you're able. If you're not, do something else. Get creative. But be together. And then pray together. You know, when we were little, I mean, yeah, I remember seeing them, and my oldest, she would pray, and she would start saying things, you know. And sometimes she would open her eyes and start looking around. Well, we're all there with our heads down praying, you know. And, you know, so she picks up her head one time, I remember clearly, and she's praying, and she says, and Lord, and praying for this and for that and for mom and for dad and for that plant over there in the pot and for the kitty over there. You know, see, that's how they learn things, right? You pray with them. You know, we still laugh about that. It sounded so funny to hear her go through that whole litany. Eating together. I have something I want to show you of how sometimes it sounds at our house when we eat. I hope you're not shocked. Maybe this is the last time you want to listen to me. I don't know. But I'm going to play this for you. So my brother comes to my house. My brother and I live in Bastrop. That's the only one of our, either my wife, actually it's my wife's sister and it's my brother. So we're double there. But that's the only family we have in Bastrop. So we go to get together for pizza every Saturday evening. Oh, do we not have sound here? No sound? Okay, well, you can't hear it. Well, so when we're eating, it's a very social time, I can tell you. And you can see there's quite a bit of, I mean, just look at, you can see there's some animation there. Because we don't just sit there and eat. I mean, everybody's telling everybody what happened that day. And sometimes, I'm not even sure if anybody's listening, except me. But you see, these are things that develop healthy, socially, how would you say, socially healthy families. It really is. And I just wish, would to God, that we could get to that, how we could be that way. You know, see, Joshua 1 verse 8 talks about, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." What this verse is saying, if you follow my plan, God says, if you follow my plan, I will make your way prosperous. No, you might not have $1 million in the bank account. You may have, that's okay. That's not what he's talking about. He says you'll have good success. No, you may not be the most prosperous, successful business. You may have to sacrifice time. You may have to go home from work early. You may have to not figure one job because your daughter needs something or your child needs something or your wife needs something. But let me tell you, God will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success in things that matter a whole lot more than these things that we see right now, folks. God's way always works. When he is in it, I prosper. No, it may not always look like it financially. It may not always look like it in some things. Maybe the yard is not always cut perfectly, even though that is important to me. And there were times when I sacrificed my time with my children to cut my yard. I'll admit that. But when I follow, when we obey God's commands, he will bless us. Remember Psalm 127? When I follow God's commands, he blesses me and I can sleep. I'm not stressed. I'm not worried. My children are in God's hands. I've trusted it to him. I've prayed. I've given them to him. I've tried to follow his will the best I can. I've made mistakes. I've had to say sorry. I've had to back up and try again. I've even had to cry a few times. But you know what? In spite of all of that in my me, the poor fellow that I am, I find it very blessed, a very blessed experience when I just look what God is saying and how he wants me to live for my family. So tonight, for each one of you, if you have any questions afterward, you want to ask me, just feel free. If you have anything real quick right now, I'll take any questions. Or after, man, I love to hear about how your life, I mean, you might not want to hear about mine, but you probably will somehow through all this stuff. But you know, I just feel free. I'm just a human being like every one of you, and I'm certainly not perfect. And we'll talk tomorrow evening. I want to talk more about our heritage and, you know, the things that happen and forgiveness in the life of a family and some of those things. We all deal with those things. And so I want to talk about that. And then Sunday evening, we'll talk about parent-child relationships, okay, and how we relate to each other. And I've got some stories and experiences and some of those things, and we'll go down that. So thank you for being so attentive. Thank you for listening and paying attention. I appreciate it a whole lot. And God bless you and your families as you seek to follow His will, because I know He will bless you. Thank you. I guess now is your break time. Are you coming up here, Johnny? Okay. And I might just say, it may appear like I didn't follow the book or the papers that much, because I didn't too much. I mean, but I took some things out. But these books and papers are good to study, even if I skip over a big part of it.
Thank you, Morris. And we did make more copies. If anybody is lacking a copy, feel free to come and get some. We're going to put them out there in the back. If you have any questions, you might be a strong family, but you see we're missing a link here or there. You know, they say a chain is only as strong as the weakest link, and we want to strengthen a certain part. And so, you know, go ahead and feel free to ask any one of these brothers. You know, I'm weak in this one area. How can we strengthen? What are we missing? And feel free to ask questions. This is what it's all about. It's all about building a stronger family unit. And so we're going to go ahead and take a 15-minute break. We're going to come back and sing a verse or a chorus, make it real short, and we're going to give Kevin the time. And so during the break, I know Kevin's going to want to get set up, but feel free to talk to Philip or Morris. Ask questions and get to know these guys. So you are dismissed.